Greetings, citizens of the Imperium. Today we shall continue in our sermons regarding the dangers of the ruinous powers. Rather than cover a broad topic, I will regale you with a specific tale of arrogant hubris, which led to a tragedy at a near unmatched scale for its time. I have previously alluded to the inherent risk of seeking out the powers of the dark gods, and this is because that at a fundamental level, the demon is our enemy. They will scheme and plot to bring about our downfall, and they will keep a smile on each of their foul, warp-tainted faces all the while. A demonic entity may promise you anything. It may boldly claim that you will become the mightiest warrior in the galaxy. It may offer you with a new life, free from the sorrows of disease and pain. It may tempt you with carnal pleasures beyond your wildest imagination. Or it may promise you with the forbidden secrets behind eternal life. And this is where our story is to be focused. The topic we shall be covering is the downfall of the Thousand Suns Astartes Legion, who were forced to meet their fates by the cataclysmic failings of their chief librarian, Azek Ahriman. He had sought out warp-tainted knowledge to aid him in resolving an innate flaw with the Thousand Suns genome, and in his quest, he developed a monumental ritual, which was named as the Rubric of Ahriman. So without further ado, let us learn of his folly. We shall first learn of the Thousand Suns themselves, with a particular focus on their flawed genome. Then we shall investigate the workings of their Primarch, Magnus the Red, whose own mistakes drove Ahriman down the path of scribing his malign spell. Once the pieces are set, we will learn of the actual ritual and of its fateful outcome. Finally, we will cover the actions taken following this failure, including Ahriman's arduous contact with the Eldari. To begin, we must first recall the harrowed tale of the Emperor's own demigod children, his Primarchs, and of their indomitable legions of once unwaveringly loyal Astartes. The Primarch Project was an incomparably grand task, where the Emperor sought out to produce 20 sons from his own genetic material, and it was from these mighty individuals that he would be able to launch the Great Crusade to reclaim the galaxy as humanity's birthright. Now, as a somewhat salacious rumor, which inquisitorial agents would never confirm nor deny, it is said that the Emperor reached into the warp to wrangle free a nascent source of power, which would be used to further embolden the already unmatched strengths of his sons. This, of course, is a highly heretical view, which should not be spread beyond these halls, and the official stance is that the Emperor and his trusted advisors simply used the pinnacle of genetic engineering tools at their disposal to best tailor and alter the genomes of his sons to best suit their intended purpose. With this all being said, our gaze should turn to Magnus, who was destined to lead the Thousand Suns Legion as their Crimson King. For Magnus, the Emperor enhanced the already highly sensitive psychic genes into being exponentially more potent than any of his brothers, with the intention of him rising as one of the most powerful psychers in the galaxy, all for a goal which unfortunately met its end, but centuries after. The genetic modifications the Emperor made to Magnus were an unbridled success. He was a psyker of unmatched power who would only become more proficient and more capable in wrangling and controlling the immaterial forces as he matured and grew older. Even as the 20 young Primarchs were scattered across the galaxy by the infernal meddling of demonic entities, the Emperor was able to detect the psychic presence of Magnus as a brightly shining beacon throughout the galaxy. There is an old Terran saying about best-laid plans falling to ruin, and whatever plans the Emperor had for Magnus could certainly be covered by this phrase. Despite the unmatched enhancement of his psychic abilities, The massive genetic changes which were made to Magnus's genome resulted in a large degree of instability, which were only suppressed by his own near-divine might. The same, however, cannot be said for his legion. The Thousand Sons, whose own gene seed was derived from Magnus's, was utterly rife with problems, which manifested into a widespread mutation known as the Flesh Change. Every member of the Thousand Sons were afflicted with this curse to some degree, but none could be sure of when it would fully manifest itself within them. For most, the affliction would lie in a dormant state, where it would not result in any significant changes to the individual, allowing him to continue serving the Emperor as a noble Astartes. Nevertheless, as something as inevitable as the sun rising, at some point, their unstable genome would simply switch into a frenzied state. At this point, the fates of the afflicted Marines would be sealed. They would devolve into a gibbering mass of flesh, a true horror of broken, multi-jointed limbs flailing about from their pulsating and malformed frames. New heads would burst forth from every corner of this malign creature, screeching in pain as their new-formed teeth simply fall from their loose jaws. Now, many of you will recognize these creatures as sounding remarkably similar to the foul creatures known as Chaos Spawn, and they are in fact born of the same machinations. The touch of the ruinous powers within the Thousand Suns' own DNA had damned them, without them even being aware of its presence. And upon witnessing the sheer scale of these horrific changes, the Legion sought out a solution. With the horrors of the flesh change in our minds, let us remember that since they were imbued with the genetic material of Magnus, who himself was an incredibly enhanced psyker, that the Thousand Suns Legion ended up containing a vast proportion of psychically sensitive individuals. Prior to the discovery of their Primarch, the psychers of the Thousand Suns had been desperately seeking out a cure to this affliction, and one of the sorcerers who was most entrenched with this study was one known as Azek Ahriman. He had killed his own twin brother after seeing him fall to the change, and perhaps in a bout of paranoia, he was fully expecting to succumb to that horrific fate himself. However, all this changed when the Legion was united with Magnus. The Cyclopean had been discovered by the Emperor upon the world of Prospero, and the two had spent several decades traveling the galaxy, where they discussed the secrets which lurk within the Immaterium, as well as of the malign entities who dwell within that ephemeral hellscape. An important point here is that there were some within the Imperium who saw the afflicted Legion of the Thousand Suns as being too unstable and too dangerous to include within their plans, and they advocated for their utter destruction. But despite their cries, Magnus pleaded with and finally convinced the Emperor to allow him to take control of the Legion and to set out into the stars on the sole condition that he would find a cure for the flesh change before the Legion departed. After several decades of intense study and dubious activity, Magnus was prepared to present the miraculous results of his labors to his Legion and to the Imperium at large. It had seemed that the Crimson King had done what was once thought of as impossible, as he had finally resolved the tainted afflictions which had plagued his Legion to the point of near ruin. No longer would an Astartes be damned into meeting their cursed fate as a writhing mass of mutated flesh, and the sorcerers could set out into the stars in the name of humanity. To this victory, however, there was an unseen cost. Unbeknownst to any, Magnus had done the unthinkable. He had communed with the demonic entities of the warp to seek out first their guidance, and then finally to simply beseech them for a cure. Whilst projecting himself into the warp, Magnus had unknowingly come into contact with not just a demon, but a chaos god. He communed directly with Tzeentch, where the two debated and argued over the philosophical nature of life and of the inherent values it would provide for him to be bequeathed with a cure. Eventually, Tsinch found himself beaten, and so the two entered into a bargain. Tsinch would provide a cure to the flesh change if Magnus would give him his eye, to which he gleefully accepted before returning to his legion with tales of success. Now, it should go without saying, but Magnus did not actually best Tsinch here. The entire situation was a long game being played by the Changer of Ways, all to pull Magnus into the sway of the Dark Gods. For you see, Tsinch knew that if Magnus saw himself as having bested one of the powers which the Emperor forbade him from ever communing with, then he would be utterly emboldened with arrogance, and that this would push him to draw from the forces of the warp again and again, until he found himself utterly consumed by it. Furthermore, the cure which Tsinch provided was only ever to be temporary, and the foul god knew that certain events would soon transpire to push the legion closer to damnation. In any case, this supposed cure was met with a sea of adoration and reverence from the legion towards Magnus. He had done what was once considered impossible and saved them from a most terrible fate. The previously mentioned Azek Ahriman also idealized his actions to the point where he sought to follow in Magnus's steps to emulate him in his glory. He eventually rose to the rank of chief librarian, where he stood as the closest advisor to Magnus, and the two eventually formed a strong enough bond where Ahriman was entrusted with the Primarch's personal tome, the Book of Magnus. For years, the Legion thought themselves to be safe. However, it was not until the Astartes deployed a task force to the world of Shrike that they saw their fate once again. A combined grouping of Astartes from the Thousand Suns, Wordbearers, and Space Wolves had convened to enact the Emperor's will, but their planning was cut short by an odd sound. One of the Thousand Suns had suddenly fallen to the flesh change, something which none thought possible after the salvation of Magnus. Worse still, it had been seen by members of other legions, further damning the already suspicious name of the sorcerers. Magnus, however, simply presumed this to have been a fluke occurrence caused by an unrelated mutation, which should not concern the rest of his legion, but this event had sowed the first seeds of doubt in Ahriman's mind. He had previously revered Magnus as their savior, but now he was plagued with the thought that perhaps they had been lied to, and perhaps the Legion was still to be afflicted for all of time. In the following years, Magnus received prophesied visions of Horus betraying the Emperor. And so, in an act of desperation, he sent a psychic projection of himself to Terra, all to warn his liege of the impending treachery. During this process, however, Magnus devastated the delicate workings of the Human Webway Project, jeopardizing the Emperor's plans for humanity's golden future. In response, he banished Magnus from the palace and instructed Leman Russ to take his legion of space wolves to Prospero, where they were to capture the Red Primarch and bring him back to be judged for his crimes. I shall only briefly cover the burning of Prospero. But suffice to say, the Space Wolves enacted an overzealous and bloody war upon the sorcerer's homeworld. Tens of thousands died as the two legions clashed, until the two Primarchs eventually engaged in a fated duel, which resulted in the mortal wounding of Magnus, potentially spelling his death. Fate, however, had other intentions for the Crimson King. Tsinch whispered to Magnus that he could save both his own life, the lives of his entire legion, and preserve the combined knowledge of Prospero if he would simply offer his eternal fealty to the Dark God. Close to death, Magnus agreed, and in a single instant every surviving member of the Thousand Suns Legion vanished from the battlefield, having been psychically teleported onto a demon world within the warp. Whilst the Astartes found themselves intact, The same could not be said for Magnus. He had drank from the immaterial well, and its foul ichor had imbued every aspect of his mind, body, and soul, leaving him as a demon prince of Zinch. The Legion soon sought their revenge for the acts of perceived treachery at the hands of the Space Wolves and the Emperor, and so they joined with Horus's forces, pledging themselves to the destruction of the Imperium. I shall not cover this topic in detail today, but after the events of the heresy transpired, Magnus and his surviving legion were outcast to the Eye of Terror, where they would plot their ruinous return to the galaxy. Now, with the Legion finding its new home upon Sortiarius, the planet of the sorcerers, many saw Magnus as having led them towards damnation. Their home planet of Prospero was in ruins. Many of their kin were dead. They had betrayed their emperor, and worse still, the flesh change had returned. The fickle and capricious energies of the warp had caused widespread mutations within the Thousand Suns, leading to a vastly accelerated progression of their genetic curse occurring throughout their ranks. Magnus, however, seemed rather distant from the mortal fates of his legion. He simply accepted the flesh change as an inevitability for them and departed to study the infernal machinations of the warp. One who had seen the rise and fall of Magnus would be Ajek Ahriman. But any semblance of respect or love he held towards his Primarch was now replaced with utter hatred and bitterness at being misled by such a weak-willed, lying individual who could not even resist the sway of demons. As such, he retrieved the Book of Magnus, which contained within it the combined knowledge of the most advanced psychic teachings from Prospero and the wider galaxy, and he sought to find a cure for the flesh change himself. There is perhaps something quite ironic about Ahriman using a book which had been filled with warp-tainted secrets to cure an affliction which found its roots within the warp. But I shall continue past his erroneous judgment. He toiled for days, which bled into weeks, months, and then years, until he had finally distilled the combined teachings of this book into a colossal spell which could undo the terrors caused by the flesh change, providing his brothers with somewhat of a brighter future. He had named this spell as his rubric. In the ancient texts, this word translated into a notation of instruction. It was his command, his imperative, and his will made manifest unto reality itself. With this ritual, he was prepared to elevate his dominance over this realm to a point where none but the gods themselves could question him. In his first trials, he found great success, with it appearing to work as intended upon the remains of some of his brothers. Ahriman, however, knew that he himself was not powerful enough to cast this spell with enough potency that it would cover his entire legion and produce a permanent solution. As such, he gathered a cabal of the most skilled and gifted sorcerers from his legion, who had each forsaken Magnus as but a fool who cared not for their lives. The sorcerers surrounded Ahriman, and he uttered the fated words to bring the rubric into unreality. In an instant, a gargantuan occlusive cloud of crackling energies enveloped the entirety of the planet of the sorcerers. Multicolored hurricanes and tornadoes carved their ephemeral path through the skies, raining drops of phosphorescent warp energy down to the planet's surface. Such was the cataclysmic energy produced here, that demons themselves fled far from the world, not knowing what terrible occurrence was underway. As the rubric reached its climax, the storm clouds vomited forth gigantic bolts of arcane lightning, which arced through the air to singe even the energies of the warp, leaving ashy trails where they had traveled. Each and every thousand sun upon the planet was hit by one of these bolts, and for some, they absorbed the ephemeral warp energies, finding their psychic gifts having been vastly augmented and improved by the powers of the rubric. For all this success, Only around 100 sorcerers were empowered by this spell. For others, however, they were not so lucky. The sheer power which had been unleashed from the rubric was simply too much for most Astartes to bear, and their bodies could not handle the torturous arcs of warp energy flowing through them. Their bodies of flesh were burnt to cinder, being reduced to naught but ash. Perhaps as a meddlesome action of Tsiinch, or perhaps as a mistake from Ahriman, the spell had also sealed their suits of power armor closed, resulting in the souls of the Astartes being forever trapped within them. The terrible destruction of this spell sent waves of overpowering energy out through the warp, utterly battering Ahriman and his cabal, to the point where it seemed that they were losing control over its powers. The free-flowing rubric was eventually wrangled into submission by Magnus, who had returned to intervene after feeling within his own soul the torturous pains which his legion had endured from the psychic storm. All that remained of the Thousand Suns was but 100 sorcerers and a legion of dead Astartes lying face down upon the singed earth. With such a grisly sight, it would have appeared that the rubric was an abject failure. But it was then that, in a twist of fate, the apparent failings of Ahriman's ritual revealed themselves to be a total success. The power armor suits stood themselves upright and marched into formation, standing yet still as members of the legionnaires Astartes. Though their bodies had turned to ash, their souls persisted within their armor, and though they were no longer sentient, they were free from the malign fate of the flesh curse. These Astartes now stood as rubric marines who would follow only the directive of a Thousand Suns sorcerer as a legion of dreadful automata. The sorcerers who had involved themselves with this coven were disgusted and horrified by what had transpired, but their actions were irreversible and they could not turn back time to rectify their failings. Their once proud brothers had been reduced to ash, with but barren husks replacing their vibrant and unique souls. For Ahriman, he was somewhat conflicted with the outcome. Whilst, yes, it was undeniably not the most fortuitous outcome for the rubric, but at the same time, he saw it as something of a necessary evil, since his brothers were now safe from the curse of their mutations, and the result was but a small price to pay when compared to the alternative. Magnus, however, was mortified by this action. He stormed into the fortress of Ahriman and psychically forced him to his knees to answer for what he had done. Despite the overwhelming powers crashing into Ahriman, he managed to say but one twisted phrase: "I succeeded where you failed." In response, the demon Primarch, enraged by such insolence spoken to him by he who had damned his legion, raised his immense fist to strike Ahriman down until he heard a soft whisper in his ear. He heard the voice of Tsiinch, who laughed and asked him, "Magnus, would you smash my pawn so readily?" Thus it was here that both Magnus and Ahriman discovered the sheer levels of trickery which had been at play. Both Primarch and Astartes had been used and pushed closer to damnation, and their actions had solely been orchestrated to draw them deeper and deeper towards the sway of the ruinous powers. Even though they had both swelled into psychers of unmatched power, we still have to wonder, was this truly worth it? Magnus was left utterly infuriated by this turn of events. He despised Tsiinch for manipulating him, and was truly disgusted by Ahriman for having decimated his legion in the manner of the rubric. As such, he banished the chief librarian along with his conclave, hoping to distance himself from whatever plans and schemes Tsiinch had crafted for him. Ahriman has himself embarked upon a new quest, however. His opinion of the rubric has slowly changed over time. And though he once considered it as a success, he now sees it as an abject failure. He had robbed his brothers of their sacred gift of life, simply to prevent a potential outcome from occurring, and so he has committed himself to resolve his past failings. As such, Ahriman has now set out with a warband to discover the innate secrets of the warp, all in order to find a true cure for not only the failings of the Rubric, but also of the flesh change. The Rubric Marines still march to war beneath him, following in his every order, but they do so not out of loyalty, but instead as mindless husks who know nothing beyond their own torment. In the following millennia, Ahriman scoured the entire galaxy for any forbidden secrets of the warp that he could find, and in time he found himself at the precipice of his atonement. The culmination of his arduous studies was a new spell, his second rubric, one which could reverse his failings and bring back life to his ashen brothers. Perhaps the most stark difference between the two rituals was that for this instance, his own sacrifice was required as something of a necessity for its full completion. Perhaps this was intended as some form of penitent justice to redeem his soul, but it matters not, for Ahriman was not able to complete his ritual undisturbed. Upon the glittering, warp-stained grounds of the planet of the sorcerers, Ahriman had initiated his rubric, and in a flash of silver, he found himself drowning in the wave of existence which crashed over him. However, it was here, when he was most vulnerable, that he found failure. The scheming members of the Thousand Suns were rarely united in their purpose, but the sorcerer Astraeos intended to disrupt the rubric for a rather spiteful reason. He had been possessed by what was originally thought of as a demon, but in actuality he was the host to one of the fabled shards of Magnus's soul, which had been shattered during the Horus heresy. The meddlesome interference of Astraeos was thus twofold. Firstly, it was done as a form of revenge against Ahriman for his failings to the Thousand Suns, and secondly, it was an attempt by Magnus to reclaim the shard within Astraeos, all to restore some semblance of his psychic might. As such, during the chaotic apex of the second rubric, the spell was interrupted and brought to a crashing, tumultuous halt. Ahriman was unable to complete his ritual, but he survived the ordeal. Astraeos had his shard ripped from his broken body by Magnus, who simply looked down upon the sorcerer with pity before departing deeper into the warp. As the cabal of sorcerers recovered from this calamity, there was one Rubric Marine who stood out from the rest, one who none could look away from. Amidst the endless legion of soulless automata, one man stood, barefaced and undeniably alive. Ahriman was forced to conceal his own shock at such an impossibility, but he approached the trembling man and reassured him that the two were brothers and that there was nothing to fear in this abyssal realm. The Marine who had been brought back to life was known as Helio Isidorus, and his new life proved to Ahriman that his mistakes could be reversed and that the entire Thousand Suns Legion could be restored to their former glory. Unfortunately, however, whilst Isidorus may have emerged with his body intact, the same could not be said for his mind. He had no memories beyond his own name, and only time will tell if his spirit stands resolute, or if it has been somehow twisted and contorted by the machinations of the rubric. In the wake of Abaddon, the Despoiler's successes during the 13th Black Crusade, Ahriman had heard sordid whispers from demonic spies of an Eldari resurrection ceremony occurring deep within the Webway. This was a plot from the newly formed Inari faction, who sought to find a method for reawakening Inead, the Eldari god of the dead, who would have the power to defeat Slaanesh and restore the Eldari Empire to its ancient days of glory. Now, any rumors of a ceremony which could resurrect a god would surely hold some secrets which could aid Ahriman in finally restoring life to his legion, and so he orchestrated a contingent of sorcerers, rubric marines, and demons to infiltrate this monumental event. After completing a mass sacrifice of 999 captives to Tzeentch, the Cabal were transported into the Webway, where they faced off against the combined forces of the Eldari cult. As the two groups battled, the presiding champion of Inead's triumvirate, Yvrain, beseeched Ahriman to pull back and spare her life. As a bargaining chip, she demonstrated her powers over life and death by fully restoring the perfected, intact souls of a dozen rubric marines. The Thousand Suns were pristine, and unlike Ahriman's previous efforts with his second rubric, these Astartes emerged with their memories perfectly preserved. The confused group knew not of where they were, but they still recognized Ahriman as their commanding brother in arms, and so rushed to his defense. Ahriman, utterly shocked by the sheer majesty of this event, invoked a spell to save the remaining Eldari forces from his own army, before turning back to Yvrain, intent on gleaning the secrets of life which she clearly controlled. Unfortunately, however, this was but another Eldari ploy, which was always intended to pull on the heartstrings of Ahriman. As soon as the triumvirate of Inead was safe, a mighty Wraith Knight cleaved open a gaping rift within the Webway, with naught but death to be found within its vast chasm. The living avatar of Inead, the Incarni, stepped towards the fissure's edge and opened its gargantuan maw with a rushing inhalation. The newly restored Thousand Suns were tragically swept up and pulled into the void, with their ancient souls being utterly destroyed in the process. With a terrible scream, Ahriman saw his true brothers meet their final death. Their souls could not be recovered from such an event, and no rubrics or incantations would ever be able to restore those who had been lost that day. As Yvrain departed with her forces, she taunted Ahriman by claiming that the Whispering God gives new life just as he takes it away. This shall bring an end to our sermon. Having witnessed both his own successes in restoring life, as well as from seeing the revival of his brothers by the Eldari, Ahriman was imbued with a new sense of purpose, where he understood that there was a true possibility in resolving his fatal mistakes with the original rubric. Legends say that he is currently seeking out the secrets of the Black Library, which he hopes to reach through the dark city of Komorah. But only time will tell if he is victorious in this near-impossible endeavor. Truly, we must recognize that Magnus and Ahriman both saw the powers of chaos as something to be exploited and utilized for their own gain, but it was from their folly that they met damnation. Nothing taken from the warp is free. There is no gift given by a demon, and no lesson to be learnt without a cruel teaching behind it. Blessed citizens, be ever vigilant and cautious when dealing with the ruinous powers, for if you tamper with that which you do not know, then you will surely meet your untimely and terrible end.